urgent action is needed to combat declining rates of immunisation in Australia. That's the warning from the nation's peak medical body. According to the Australian Medical Association, misinformation, anti-science sentiment and vaccine fatigue have eroded public trust in vaccines. Dr. Danielle McMullen is the president of the AMA and joins me now. Danielle McMullen, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What do the numbers tell us about the fall in some immunisation rates?
Yeah, we took a look at the publicly available data for immunisations in kids, teenagers and adults. And unfortunately, the news wasn't good in any sector. We're really dropping the ball across all of our immunisation programs. And where I was most worried, I think, was in our 1 and 2 year olds, where we immunise for things including measles, which is so contagious that we need really high vaccination rates. And across the country, we're really teetering on the edge of whether we're getting enough coverage to protect the community, and in some parts of the country have fallen below that target. So we really are at risk of seeing measles in particular have a resurgence across the country, but that really wasn't an isolated problem. It was a drop in vaccines across all cohorts.
What does the map look like? Is there much variation across Australia?
Look, there's it's an issue right across the country. There are pockets where vaccination rates are much lower. I mean, we singled out particular examples across, you know, if we looked at all Queensland jurisdictions and we look at the Gold Coast hinterland is much lower than other parts of the state. And that really shows that in those communities where vaccinations aren't meeting targets at all, they're much more at risk of someone coming home from holidays with an illness and then suddenly having quite an outbreak there.
So what's driving this? What's going on, as best you understand?
We think there's a number of factors. I think after the pandemic, everyone is a bit sick and tired of talking about vaccinations. So that's that fatigue factor. But we are also seeing in the social media age a lot of misinformation out on social media channels. And in fact, from other parts of the world, some pretty concerning misinformation, even from governments other than our own. And then I think just stirs up questions for people. And then when we're already time poor, everyone's busy, cost of living's been a challenge, everyone's working hard, just trying to fit in those vaccinations when you've already got questions about them is tough, which is why we're calling on all levels of government to really take this seriously and make sure people have the information they need and more time with their GP or nurse to talk it through. It's okay if you've got questions, but you really need that time with your doctor or nurse to talk through the immunisations and decide what's the best for you and your family.
What do we know about the consequences for the health system if an immunisation is missed or refused? What kind of knock-on or in costs and availability can that mean if someone finds themselves significantly ill?
Yeah, look, it's... We already know our hospitals are in logjam. We hear every day about the wait lists and ambulance ramping. And the last thing we need to be doing is compounding that, either with big flu seasons if we're under-immunised there, or a longer-term issue of if we're reducing immunisations and then increasing rates of things like measles and other contagious illnesses. Our hospitals don't have the space to deal with more of us being more unwell, and so it's incumbent upon us as a society to really get those vaccinations up to scratch.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast and you're hearing from the president of the AMA, Dr. Danielle McMullen. On a separate issue, yesterday the medicines regulator, the TGA, issued a safety warning over the potential risk of suicidal thoughts and behaviour for people taking Ozempic-style drugs. Should people be concerned?
Yes, that was part of TGA's regular review. It's not a new safety signal, I suppose, is the main thing to tell people. This is information that has been around. There's a bit of controversial evidence as to how strong that really is. Like, do these medicines really increase the rates of thoughts of suicide in people who have depression or anxiety? It's a bit unclear, but out of an abundance of caution, the TGA has said, look, that warning is out there in other parts of the world. Let's streamline our warnings across all of the products. It was already on one of those kinds of medications and they've made it across all of the others. So really my advice to people is if you're already on these medications and you're okay, then there's no need to be worrying. For doctors, it's a good reminder to us that when we're starting these medications, for people to have a conversation about mental health. And it's a real reminder to have a usual GP who knows your whole health history, so that when you're doing something like starting a new medicine like this, you can have a conversation about your other health conditions. And if you might be more at risk of some side effects, being aware of that and making sure your GP is working with you.
What are your members telling you about the current demand for those kinds of medications? Is it still increasing significantly?
Overweight and obesity continues to be a health challenge that our population's dealing with, and this is another tool in our toolkit. It's not the only one. I'm a GP and talk about these issues with my patients every day, and obviously we spend a lot of time talking about lifestyle, sleep, stress, but having these medications as another option for people who are dealing with the health consequences of overweight and obesity really has been game-changing, and does help people, although there's some real financial barriers to it at the moment.
Danielle McMullen, thank you very much.
Thank you.